All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 28. 1 Samuel chapter 28. A fella asked me last week, I think it was last week, out in the hallway, said, "Why don't you ever preach out of the New Testament?" And I said, "I don't know, probably because there's a whole lot more of the Old Testament than there is the New Testament." And he said, "Oh, okay. This, you know, I guess just, he was just looking for an answer. I don't know. I just always, I don't know. But I'm going to do it again tonight." All right, chapter 28. You with me? All right, look at verse 3. It says, "Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. And the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem. And Saul gathered all Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa. So Saul and his men are up on Mount Gilboa," which is just this little bald mountain that overlooks the valley of Megiddo, the plain of Esdraelon. And the Philistines were down in the plain. They were down next to where the Shunammite lived, the Shunammite woman that Solomon writes about in the Song of Solomon. All right, so Saul gathered all Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa. Verse 5, "And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, or by Urim, or by the prophets. Then said Saul unto his servants," now remember back in verse 3, Saul had put away all those that had familiar spirits and wizards. So he did away with all of it. But then in verse 7, he said to his servants, "Seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her." And the servants said to him, "Behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit in Endor." So they were a real obedient bunch, weren't they? Everybody obeying the king there. When he asked, his men knew exactly where to send him. Verse 8, "And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment, and he went and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night, and he said, 'I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up whom I shall name unto thee.' And the woman said unto him, 'Behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die?' And Saul sware to her by the Lord," that's real spiritual, "saying, 'As the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing.' Then said the woman, 'Whom shall I bring up unto thee?' And he said," watch this now, remember back in verse 3, what's first line say? "Now Samuel was what?" So here now he goes to this woman and says, "Bring me up Samuel." Wow. "Bring me up Samuel. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. And the woman spake to Saul, saying, 'Why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul.'" Now, who told her that? Who told her that? All right. There's some hocus pocus going on here, folks. This is real. This was not. Listen, that spirit world is real. That's why they play with it. That's why they play with it, because it's real. And she found out, Saul found out, and she found out, and Samuel found out just how real it was. And the king said, verse 13, unto her, watch this now. And the king said unto her, be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw God's ascending out of the earth. Mercy. When she saw Samuel, she said, I see God's ascending out of the earth. I want to speak to you tonight on this man, Samuel, the most noble Samuel. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Father, thank you now for the passage we just read, and I pray you'll bless tonight as we look at Samuel, this great man, this great leader. And Father, I ask you to help us to glean some things from his life and to see the foolishness of Saul and to see Samuel in a positive light and how you used him. And Father, how you used him is how you want to use us. And so I pray you'll speak to our hearts tonight, and may the word of God make a difference in our lives. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. On the evening before Saul, King Saul's last battle against the Philistines, the haggard and despairing king came to a witch who lived in the city of Endor, or town, it's not a city, just a little hole in the wall, and asked her to call up Samuel from the dead so that Samuel could give him advice. Saul prayed, but God did not hear him. God did not answer. And so he was desperate. He had a bad feeling about what was coming, and he wanted to talk to Samuel and try to get some counsel and some advice. Now, as strange as it might seem, the woman was more successful than even she expected. To her shock and dismay, when she made her hocus pocus chance, God sent Samuel to stand before her. Amazing, isn't it? God sent Samuel to stand before her. She was so startled and so afraid that she cried out in fear when she saw Samuel standing before her. King Saul asked her what she was seeing. What do you see? For the form was only visible to the witch, and Saul could not see the deceased prophet of God. And the witch answered Saul by saying, I see a God coming out of the earth. I see a God coming out of the earth. Samuel appeared as godlike to this woman. He is one of the few in the Bible who could bear such a description. Samuel was a man of majesty. He was a man of honor. There was something about his life that lifted him head and shoulders above the average person. He is one of two major Bible characters of whom the Lord does not record anything negative. Major characters. Joseph is the other one. Now, when we first see Samuel in the book that bears his name here, we see him before he was born. And we see his mother promising God that if the Lord would give her a son, she would give that son back to serve the Lord. So we see Samuel before he was born when the book opens. And now as the book comes to a close, we see him once again, this time though in death. And he comes and stands before this woman. We see Samuel before he was born, and then we see him speak out even though dead, and we see him speak out and is once again brought to bear in the book. Now, in order to understand the character of Samuel, we must begin with a look at him even before he was born. You see, folks, behind every great life lies the mysterious purpose of God. And the world needed Samuel when God made a Samuel. When the world needs a great man, God has him ready. Do you remember the Bible says that there was a man sent from God whose name was Elijah? And God sent Moses to the children of Israel, as we saw this morning when they were in Egypt. And then John tells us in his gospel, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. John the Baptist, who came as a forerunner to the Lord Jesus Christ. Samuel came to Israel at just the right time when he was needed. And Samuel came through the prayers of a godly mother and through her consecrating him to the Lord at the house of God. Now, folks, listen. If you were to read about the life of the Caesar Nero, you should not be surprised to learn that his mother was a murderous woman. She was a killer. That's Nero's mother. When you read about the life of Lord Byron, you are not shocked to learn that his mother was violent and vain and a vile woman. I mean, with no moral character whatsoever. But when you read the story of Susanna Wesley, and you learn what a godly woman she was and how she prayed for each of her children many times every day, you are not surprised how God used Charles and John Wesley to bring a nation to its knees. And that's exactly how the mother of Samuel prayed and brought Samuel into this world. And Samuel became a great man of prayer. But we should not be surprised, because Samuel was himself an answer to prayer. His mother said to Eli, the high priest, "I have lent him to the Lord." Now let's think about Samuel tonight. And I want you to notice a couple of things from the story here about him. I know you remember the story. I won't take the time, as I did not take the time this morning to read it all to you. I'll just tell you the story and refresh your memory. But God spoke to Samuel one night after his mother had loaned him to the high priest, to the house of God. And Samuel was trying to go to sleep one night, and he heard the call of God in his life. He did not know, did not recognize what was happening. He got up, and probably just a child, just 10, 11 years of age, probably at most. And he got up and went in to where Eli was and said, "Did you call me?" Eli said, "No, I did not call you. Go back to bed." And so when it happened the third time in one night, Eli knew that it must be God speaking to Samuel. So Eli said, "Son, when you hear that voice again, you say, 'Yes, Lord, thy servant heareth.'" And Eli recognized that God often hides his secret things from the wise and the prudent and reveals them unto babes, and knew that God must have been speaking to the young boy. And from that moment, it became Samuel's goal to know God's will and to do it. And folks, it was not easy for Samuel to do what God asked him to do that night. You see, God told him that he was to announce to Eli and the end of his rule as high priest and the end of his house because of the sins of his son. His sons had taken advantage of their position, and they had no intentions of stopping what they were doing. And so the next morning, Eli asked Samuel, "Well, son, what did God say to you?" Now, folks, can you imagine the predicament that young Samuel found himself sitting across the breakfast table from Eli? I almost think Eli knew God had said something to Samuel having to do with judgment, because he told Samuel, "Don't hold back. Don't hold back. You tell me everything. Just be honest and come out with it." And this is the kind of preacher every church needs, don't you think? I mean, we've got enough back scratchers today. It's time somebody stood up and just said what is the truth. And so no one that speaks for God wants to be just a pleaser of men and tickle ears. But one who will speak the whole counsel of God and hide nothing, that is the men of God that are needed across this country today. Amen. So Samuel told Eli the terrible news. Now, second thing I want you to see, I want you to notice Samuel's entrance upon the stage of Israel's history. Again, you know the story, so I'll not take you back and read it all to you, but he burst onto the scene in a dark and critical time in Israel's history. The nation of Israel was corrupt and degraded, and the judgment hand of God was falling upon the country. The Philistines defeated Israel, and in the battle, the sons of Eli were slaughtered, just as Samuel had told Eli would happen. And when the news got to Eli, when the news came to him that the ark had been taken by the Philistines, Eli fell backwards off the seat that he was sitting on. And because he was such a big man, when he fell off, it broke his neck and he died. Now, the national situation was summed up by Eli's son's wife, Phinehas is his name, and his wife went into labor when she heard the news that her husband had been killed and that Eli had died and that the ark had been stolen by the Philistines. And so she named her son that was born Ichabod, which means the glory has departed. Now, we all know it is always the darkest before the dawn. And man's extremity is always God's opportunity. And again, in the long and storied history of Israel, the great men of the Old Testament appear when it looks like all is lost and there is no hope. And that's when Samuel stepped out on the scene. Folks, you might remember this is how God does things. When it's the darkest hour, that's when God does his finest work. You might remember when the wicked king Ahab and his evil sidekick wife Jezebel had filled the land with their heathen idols and had all but exterminated real, true Bible religion, that then, like a lightning bolt, Elijah burst on the scene, stood face to face with Ahab, and pronounced judgment upon him, both him and his wicked wife. You might remember when King Ahaz filled Judah with his abominations and built his wicked altars to the stars, and then built an altar to the god Moloch at the wall of the city, and then closed up the temple, blew out the lamps, and just let it sit idle. And that was when God raised up a man by the name of King Hezekiah. And Hezekiah was one of the best kings, one of the greatest kings Judah ever saw. So in this dark and evil age, God raised up Samuel, and he reigned as the prophet in Israel for 40 years. Think about that, folks. Samuel was a man of intercession and prayer. And we frequently hear of his earnest intercessions for his nation all through his story. I wonder how many we have had in Annapolis or in Washington, D.C., who are and were men of prayer. I sure hope there are some. Although we never hear about them, I sure hope there are some. You remember back during the Civil War, we had a president who prayed for the nation. Remember, I don't know if you ever read about that. His name was Lincoln. And Abraham Lincoln was a man of prayer. During the Civil War, near the end of the war, he said this: "Fondly do we hope, fervently do we pray, that this mighty scourge of war shall speedily pass away." Many of his biographers gave testimony and wrote how that Lincoln, when you went by his office, would be in there on his knees praying for his country. One of his many biographers wrote one time that Lincoln would often invite others to come into the office and join him on his knees as they prayed for the country. Oh, how we need some men of prayer today. I would just like to see somebody in power in the government. I'd just like to see somebody take the Bible and read it and believe it and stand before America and say, "Here, America, this is what we need to follow. And let's get back to the nation that is one nation under God." The last chapter in Samuel's life is the saddest, but yet it reveals just how noble this man Samuel was. After his 40 years of service, you might remember the story. The elders came to him and they said to him, "Behold, thou art old." How nice was that? Don't y'all ever do me like that. "Behold, thou art old." A couple of weeks ago, we were at the house, and Ella was sitting on my lap. She looked over at me and she said, "How old are you, Papa?" I said, "I'm 65. She went, "Ooh, that's old." I said, "Go home." "Go home." She said, "Ooh, that's old." Didn't even bat an eye, just, "Ooh, that's old." Well, they came to him and they said, "Thou art old." And then they said, "And thy sons walk not in thy ways." And you know, sadly, both of those charges were true. Samuel had grown old. Oh, I'm telling you, that's a battle all of us will eventually fight, and all of us will eventually lose. And his sons did not follow in his footsteps. You know, that's always been difficult for me to grasp, because I have no doubt that Samuel spent much time in prayer for and with those boys. I mean, if you're going to pray for your country, you're going to pray for your children. And the truth is, there are just some things we're not going to be able to figure out down here. We're going to have to wait to get to heaven before we find the answer that satisfies. But the other people, or the people, then requested that he give them a king. Remember that story? They said, give us a king so that we can be like all the other nations around us. You see, they were tired of being ruled by a prophet, which means they were tired of a reign of righteousness. So what is Samuel going to do? Folks, this is vital. This is key. What's he going to do when the people come to him and basically tell him, you got to go? Well, how's he going to react? Is he going to get angry? How is he going to stand in his hour of adversity? How will he look when the sun is going down? That was his ultimate test. And I submit to you, folks, that in that trial, Samuel was still godlike. He stood tall and he prayed and he asked the Lord what he should do. And when the Lord told him what to do, he then did what the Lord asked him to do. I'm telling you, folks, Samuel was a great man. And then finally, I want you to notice something else about this great man. I want you to notice Samuel's relationship with Saul. Let me remind you, Samuel was the one who chose Saul to be the king. Samuel was the man that invested everything he had in Saul. He loved Saul. He was the man that anointed Saul to be the first king. And it is clear he loved this man like his own son. Samuel grieved when he watched Saul wander away from the path of obedience. And eventually the day came when Samuel had to part ways with Saul. That day came. You remember in chapter 15 in verse 35, the Bible says, and Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul. Isn't that something? He mourned for this king. The man whom he had chosen, anointed, loved, and over whom he prayed for day and night. And Samuel wept when he had to break fellowship with him. Now, let's fast forward to our chapter. Come now to our chapter, to the story that is at hand. And on Mount Gilboa, King Saul recognizes that he's in trouble. The Philistine army has amassed below him in the valley, and he knows that he's in serious jeopardy. So in his despair, he knocks on the door of the underworld. What he was doing was something that he had outlawed by his own decree. So he goes before the witch of Endor in disguise. She says, whom shall I call up? What did Saul want? Folks, listen, he could have told that woman, he could have asked for any number of people to come to his aid. He could have asked for Abraham. He could have asked for Moses. He could have asked for Joshua, the great warrior. He could have asked for Jacob. He could have asked for Gideon. There's any number of people that he could have asked to come up. They certainly could have told him what he wanted to know and fortified his soul. But no, he says, bring up Samuel. Think about that, folks. Bring up the man who anointed me king. I mocked his counsel. I disobeyed when he told me what to do. But now the night is dark. Call up the man who showed that he loved me at every single step of the way and who always told me the truth. If I am to perish in tomorrow's battle, surely this man who always led me in the right direction, even though I wouldn't listen to him, even though I rejected his counsel, and even though I broke his heart, bring this man up and let him tell me what tomorrow brings. Folks, isn't it sad that we do not realize what we have until we lose it? Isn't that sad? I mean, Saul did not realize in his life what Samuel could do for him and sought his counsel only after it was too late and Samuel was already dead. Oh, think about it. If Saul had only listened to Samuel when he was alive. But you see, he threw it all out the door. How many times have I sat in my office and I have given out counsel? And thank God there's been times when folks have listened. But how many times have they walked out the door and not listened? And it breaks your heart. It breaks your heart. How many parents have sat in my office and said, Pastor, what do we say to our daughter? What do we say to our son? And yet the child will not listen to the advice and counsel of the two people in this world who love them more than anybody else. I mean, if anybody is going to give you good advice, mom and dad are going to give you good advice. How grieved Samuel's heart must have been. But notice, Samuel lived so close to God for all those years, and he spoke God's truth so clearly and so fearlessly and so earnestly that even when he was dead, men longed for his presence. What a testimony. Call up Samuel. Folks, I think that is how you and I ought to live our lives. So that when the story of our life is closed, there will still be those living who during their hour of trouble or hour of trial or in their hour of sorrow will say of us, I wish so-and-so were here to advise me on what to do. I can't tell you how many times I have said, man, I wish mom was still here so I could talk this over with her. There is no doubt, folks, that Samuel was one of the greatest men that ever lived on this planet. I know this. I know he made an impact on King Saul, which sadly, Saul did not realize that impact until it was too late. Young people, realize what you have if you have your parents. Realize what you've got and cherish it. Cherish it. Don't ever do anything without seeking mom and dad's counsel and advice. Appreciate those who have prayed for your welfare. Appreciate those who have asked the Lord to bless your life. I mean, a godly mother, a praying daddy, a loving teacher. I remember when I was in the ninth grade, and I was running around with some kids that I shouldn't have been running around with. And I remember one night coming in about 2 a.m, ninth grade. Did you catch that? Ninth grade. I wasn't saved. Ninth grade, coming in at 2 a.m. And when I slipped open the door and then slipped the door shut, locked the door, went tiptoeing across and up the steps to my bedroom, I heard somebody speaking. And I stopped and I listened. And I looked in, and my mother was on her knees by the side of the bed, 2:00 a.m. And I listened, and she was praying for me that I would make it home safely. God, please, I know you're going to use him. I know you're going to do something with him. Lord, please get him home. About that time, I said, Mom, I'm home. She didn't even hear me. She was so engrossed in prayer, she didn't even hear me. Now, you try to go to sleep after that. Try to go to sleep after that. I laid there and, oh my, wrestled all night with God. Let me tell you something, folks. Listen to those who love you.